Okay, welcome in on this Friday night as we take you through the fastest 2 hours in radio at YSR. And we are inside the Quicken Loans studios. And the big weekend, it is finally here as the 2014 college football season, it is underway. And it is time now for us to get some answers on a number of important questions. Certainly a ton of speculation on which four teams will be playing in the inaugural college football playoff. The debate continues. But our first order of business this evening is going to be to head to the Big 12 Conference. We want to talk about some of the matchups. One in particular is with the Oklahoma Sooners. They're set for kickoff Saturday night at home against Louisiana Tech. Always a pleasure to welcome back a familiar friend of the Big East Sports Show, and that is the senior writer with OU Insider and KREF 1400 in Norman, Oklahoma, the one and only James Hill. How are you, James?
Oh, I'm doing great. The only negative is this is radio, so I don't get to see your pretty face, but it is always great to hear that voice, and that always brings back great memories of one of the most beautiful women ever to play for the OU women's basketball team. So it's always great to talk to you.
Oh, you always make me feel like a million-dollar bill. Well, James, we say goodbye to the BCS, and that's the first time since 97 the BCS will not be utilized this season, instead giving away to the college football playoff. And one of the most consistent teams, of course, were the Oklahoma Sooners throughout the BCS era. Yeah. In fact, they were ranked number one in the weekly BCS standings more than any other team, in fact, 20 times. So what are your expectations from the college football playoff system this year?
Well, I still think Oklahoma would be a strong team in it. If you can be a strong team to be in the top two all those times, then your formula should work to get you into the Final Four, too. So I think Oklahoma is one of those elite programs that you can, you know, pick to be one of the contenders to get into that. And that's kind of how the BCS has gone as well. Now, I didn't hate the BCS. I thought the BCS was a lot better than the old voting in the AP and the UPI. At least you could lose later in the year and still have a chance to get into the national championship if everybody had lost. It wasn't whether or not you'd lost early or late. And I thought that was the problem with the old polls and how the AP and the UPI, you know, were voted in. So, you know, I'm looking forward to this. I think it's juiced college football. I think it's revitalized it a little bit. You know, we have more off-the-field issues nowadays because we have more media working and the social networks and things. And, you know, fans are now media, too, and so they see something going on at a restaurant or a bar or wherever, and they're going to post it, and all of a sudden it goes viral. So you're finding out more and more things about players and coaches in college football. And yet, college football has never been more paranoid with programs, you know, shutting off practices and things with, you know, fans and media. So you have both things going for it in many, many different ways. That just brings along speculation and people guessing on things, and coaches don't like that, but it's kind of the root of their own evil. So I'm looking forward to the season because the Final Four will give us a really cool situation in late December and early January when it comes to college football, and put college football against the NFL on its biggest stage, because I got to believe that the semifinals will be as big as what's going on in the NFL with playoffs. And I'm a college football guy, so I'm going to think that. I know it's going to be can't-miss TV, and, of course, the national championship game, especially when you have to win another game to get there, is going to have an added significance to it.
Okay, so the college football playoff is going to send the top four teams. Who have you deemed as your top four?
Well, one of the teams was Ohio State. Now they've lost Braxton Miller, and Oklahoma tried to recruit JT Barrett, so I know a lot about him, but he hasn't played any football. I think now Michigan State's the favorite in the Big Ten. So the way I look at it now, I've got Oklahoma making it there. I still have Alabama making it there. I'm going to take Michigan State and put them out there. And then, you know, I kind of wrestle around with things, and who do I think is going to win the Pac-10? Do I think it's going to be Oregon? Do I think it's going to be UCLA? And see, it's kind of a debatable thing. Do I think Auburn can be good again? You know, is Georgia really going to be a great team? You're going to find out when they take on Clemson on Saturday. Clemson is another team that's kind of one of those teams you say, can they get there? So it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. But I'm going to go ahead and put Oregon into the Final Four as well.
Wow. The senior writer with OU Insider, James Hale, is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. We want to hear from you. Join us at Twitter at eRadioSports. So I want to back up for just a moment, because many had projected that Ohio State would potentially be one of those top four teams. Tell us a little bit more about JT Barrett, what this redshirt freshman.
Well, he was gifted enough at OU. Was thinking about going to the run-pass game at the time, you know, got in on him early, and then he takes a visit to Ohio State and commits to him, and that was that kind of foiled that plan for OU. They thought, man, he's right down here in Wichita. Surely we can just go and get him. Mm-hmm. And, boy, he went to Ohio State, and he's really talented. He's slick. He's fast. He's going to remind you of Braxton Miller. I think he's a better passer coming out of high school than Braxton was. And so he'll be a capable replacement. And here's the thing. Urban Meyer has been really good. Go check his track record, E.
Yeah.
He's been good with rookie quarterbacks coming in big spots, and they've often still led him to championships. So he manages this about as well as any coach, has a proven track record in doing so in college football. And so you don't rule him out. And Michigan State does have to replace some of their defensive side. You know, they had the best defense in college football, I thought, last year. Yes, I thought it was better than Alabama's. And, you know, I thought it was really, really good. Now, they've graduated several, and you got several players complaining about how tough those defensive coaches have been on them, but they expect to be great on defense. But they're going to be better on offense than they've been in the last couple of years. Now, Iowa could be there. Nebraska has a great running back and two or three great players, but they've lost so many guys on defense in their training camp, it's hard to pick them in the Big Ten. So I'm going to pick Michigan State now that Ohio State's lost their quarterback. And I had Ohio State winning before Braxton Miller went down. So I am making a minor change there. But I think that's going to be a really competitive conference this year.
Do you ever see two SEC teams making the playoff?
Well, sure. I mean, you know, you could see that. But I can see two out of any conference, to be honest with you. It's not just the SEC. I know the SEC has had a great run. It was stopped last year. But they still have been the dominant conference in college football. But you know, I cover Bob Stoops, and of course he's gone after the SEC pretty good. But I listen to what he says. He's a smart football guy, and you know, and like for instance, in the Pac-10, what if UCLA and Oregon only lose one game apiece?
Right.
That's two pretty good football teams. Why couldn't two from there go in there? Or let's say Baylor only loses to Oklahoma and they beat everybody else, and let's say Oklahoma goes undefeated, or let's say Oklahoma loses to Baylor. And Baylor goes undefeated. Why couldn't two teams from the Big 12 make it? You know, you look at strength of schedule, but the SEC is not really strong all the time in strength of schedule. So the only reason that you would think that, and I know your question's directed this way because of the success the conference has had in the national championship games. For the most part, that's been Alabama. And, of course, Auburn made the run last year, and Alabama hasn't been the only team. But that's kind of the way that's been the bell cow of the team. I remember Bob Stoops nicknamed them the Big Bad Wolf, you know, going into the Sugar Bowl.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I think two can make it from the SEC. But I think, look, if you're going to get the four best teams, you can't just look at every conference champ. Who are the four best teams in the country? That's all it comes down to. And if two of those are in a certain conference, that's the way it is.
Okay, we are so glad you're joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker Campbell. We want to hear from you on this opening weekend of college football. Join us at Twitter at E-Radio Sports. Having a wonderful, always a fabulous conversation with James Hale, the senior writer with OU Insider. So here's a question for you, James. Does the Big 12, are they at a disadvantage, the fact that they don't have the absence of having a title game?
Well, I've asked a lot of officials about this, and everybody has mixed opinions on it. So I think this is really one of the true things in college football that we have to wait and see. We don't know. I talked to Joe Castiglione, the outstanding director of athletics at OU, about this. And Joe is one of the leading thought makers, I think, in college sports. And he really doesn't know. Now, the Big 12 has been adamant about not adding teams and not adding a championship game because they don't want to split that financial pie anymore. So they feel like if you go through the round-robin schedule, which they always pump as an advantage in terms of the RPI and how you play football in this day and age, because remember, in the SEC, not every team plays everybody. And so it comes down to, you know, do you get lucky in your scheduling or not? Well, in the Big 12, there's no luck about it. You're going to play nine teams. And if you schedule like Oklahoma does with a marquee game and then a pretty good game and then usually a team that you can handle pretty well, that has been a recipe to get Oklahoma in the BCS talk and the BCS finals when they are, you know, the conference champions. So it's going to be interesting to see if not having the national championship game. Now, the Big 12's been smart. When the other teams are having their conference championship games, OU or the Big 12 is playing a big game on that day. This year, once again, it will be Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Last year, they had two different games. And the general thought is, as long as you're playing in that first week in December, people forget about the fact whether it's a national champion or a Big 12 or a conference championship game or not. They just know it's a big game. And often, when that game is played by the Big 12 or those two games, it has something to do with the conference championship. That's why they put those teams at the end. And this year, OU will play Oklahoma State on that 7th, and so that's going to be a huge game. And because they're playing that way, maybe that conference championship game or the lack of one won't hurt them. But I really don't know, E, and I am really curious to see what happens at the end of the year because they're not playing a Big 12 championship game.
We're zeroing in on the Oklahoma Sooners with James Hale from 1400 KREF and the senior writer with OU Insider. We got to take a commercial break. We'll be right back with much more at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Join us online at Twitter at E Radio Sports.